Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are in the third week of August. This will be airing on Wednesday, the 21st. This is it. This is the big week.
So the 21st, we will be 4 days away. The 25th is the big date.
when do all your, you know, family, et cetera, you know, start coming in, be together and things that you got to just.
It's a little crazy the whole week, but really most family comes in like Thursday, Friday, before the wedding. So when this airs tomorrow, but there's a lot of moving pieces going on in the midst of it all. So much fun. We have shared before, just on a side note, years ago, God laid on our heart, really how this house is his house. Specifically, there have been years where he had me just praying circles around this house, even, and our house has always been established as a place that the kids and all of their friends have always wanted to be. And people will walk in and literally say, there's something about our house. And they just don't, you know, some of them know, some of them don't realize it's the most prayed over house you walk into. That's the something about it. But all of that to say, during this wedding week, the number of college kids in particular that will be in and out of this house, even aside from family and friends coming in town, there are a couple of days, Friday and Saturday, that it will be filled to the brim with friends and, all of Ryan's friends coming over for a whole day and an evening, and then Anna's friends coming over for a whole day and an evening, all leading up to the festivities. And such a sweet, sweet thing, and such a crazy busy. I will definitely need a big breather at the end of it. But to see God use our house the way that he intended to use it, just for his glory and for people to gather and for them to enjoy and to celebrate this time of covenant, just a sweet, sweet thing. It's watching his purposes be fulfilled.
Yeah. That's always exciting. We'll be going out as well. And we fly out, yes. I think, Thursday the 22nd, we fly out. Scott Cornell and Kristen, who are leaders, Scott is actually working as executive director to assist just all the projects and things that are doing on with the ministry, which is kind of fun for us. He's given us the opportunity to stay at his lake house again.
Nice. So, that's perfect. You
know, one of Linda's favorite things, and by the way, I think I shared that she had a detached retina and emergency, and all the wonderful things that God did with that. We just went to the doctor, and he cleared her and said, you're good.
Praise God. And so she can fly. So we're all very excited for that, right?
She can now get on a plane and fly, and she can go back in the mountains. And he said, see me every 2-3 months, and we'll just keep looking and make sure everything's working. But it was miraculously healed up, and he was excited about that. So we go out. But one of the things that she enjoys is being on a lake.
Yes.
With a boat. So the nice
thing. And you
nice
guys
thing,
both love Lake Winnipesaukee.
The nice thing about Lake Winnipesaukee, which is up in New Hampshire where you guys are, is they have great marinas that rent you, not very expensive. They rent you and we're going to rent a big 24-foot pontoon boat.
Nice. Fun.
For the week and have people down and from the New England area. So we're. Linda's very excited, to come to the wedding.
Oh, I bet.
She's looking forward to dancing and all that. So it'll be
well.
Quite
we're
fun.
Excited. You guys are going to be there, so yeah. it will be a great time of celebration, right? Yeah.
And we're in the middle of what we're called a primer on abiding. The question has come up about you know, I'm doing cross-referencing, I'm doing things. Sometimes it seems like nothing happens, mm-hmm. or what am I supposed to do with this? Because I read them, now what, you know?
Right.
And so what the key is that, and keep thinking in your mind, Jesus' disciples walking with Jesus for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
They were abiding because they were connected to the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, in and out, and they went off and studied, and then they went to church and had a sermon and listened, and, well, isn't that nice? I'll try to do better. They just walked with him.
Mm-hmm.
And abiding is taking truth. What Jesus did is he kept speaking truth, and he would bring up Old Testament stuff. You know, hey, by the way, you know, Isaiah says this, or, you know, whatever, and you might understand mm-hmm. this. Let me speak more truth to you. And then the disciples would say, well, how does that apply to us?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have questions. And how does this work? And even when they're a little bit off, and so, you know,
right.
there's great funny stories, but yeah, we talk about Jesus's upper room discourse, and he's explaining the Holy Spirit and what, you know, get ready, and I'm going to be leaving you, and I'm going to my death, and he's trying to get them ready for what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their conversation is, who's going to be first in the new kingdom? Because you said we're going to be, you know, living in your kingdom, and we think it's going to be an earthly kingdom at the moment, and we want to be mm-hmm. the top dog. You know, who's going to be the top dog?
Right.
And Jesus would say, oh, you know, no, you don't quite have it right yet. You know, and abiding is taking, okay, I understand what you're saying. How does it apply to me?
Mm-hmm.
And does it translate into real fulfillment of what you say in my life
mm-hmm.
so that I live out the truth of Scripture? Like for example,
right.
And we're using this as the example. In life, we have people that are against us. We have people
right.
that are hurting us. We have people that are opposing us. We're in conflict with people. Why? Well, they're self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And they, what they call cross the line of justice is they've done something that isn't right against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm angry about it. And I'm frustrated by it. And they don't seem to want to do anything about it. And so they seem like they get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one stuck with being hurt. And I'm supposed to, the Christian church just says, well, just forget it all and be nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, but inside I'm getting riled up because I'm really
right.
upset. What do I do with that? And so we've been talking about it. The Scripture, first of all, Jesus says, logo, Scripture, I've already said things about this.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to abide in the Word. And what we did is we said, we're going to write the verses out. We're going to see what it says to me, and then have questions about it. And then as now it's like, okay, I see this. What do I do? And Jesus said, well, write down every person that you have conflict with.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't censor it. And you don't say, well, I shouldn't have conflict with that person, but I do. He said, well, write it down. You know, and so you write it down. And when you're doing this the first time, usually there's a lot of them because you're bringing up all of your past and family and stuff that happened to you and things that might have happened, you know, when you were at a certain city and somebody treated you awful and it really impacted you and you still hold anger against them. He said, write mm-hmm. it all down. And so then we have these lists and we said, write the names down and write what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you angry about it? Okay. Now what we've said is sort them out. And look, first of all, at the ones that I can't even get to any longer because they're gone. They're not in my city. They're dead. I don't even know where they live. I can't go back and try to reconcile with them in any way.
Right.
So I have a list of those. And so, okay, we're going to hold those off. There's nothing to do with those at the moment. Just hold them off. The second list is, okay, all the people that are what I call current that I could sit down and talk to and see if we could reconcile. And reconciling is that they understand what they did. They deal with that truth. They realize that they crossed a line of justice that wasn't right. I'm sorry for that. Would you forgive me? And by the way, God says you got to forgive him in any event to have freedom because I forgave him on the same basis that I forgave you, which is my nature. And remember, all it does is release the burden that they have to do anything, but you give them the opportunity to be reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
So that with Jesus, he said, you know, have I forgiven everybody at the cross? Yes. See, everybody's been forgiven. Now, is everybody reconciled?
No.
No, how come?
Because you have to choose to step into reconciliation. Yeah. That takes two parties.
I have to process the truth. And Jesus says, it's not my will that you perish, but I can't alter the truth in order for you not to perish.
Right.
If you're willing to process that I did this for you and you receive me as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved and you'll have eternal life. If you choose not to, by not doing it, because you stand condemned already, you wind up separated from me, never reconciled, and you wind up living in hell separated from me for the rest of eternity. He said, I can't alter that truth. So forgiveness is just, I invite you to the truth. If you accept the truth, we can be reconciled because it takes two parties, and I can't alter the truth. So our role would be the people that I have on that list now, I have to go through it and say, could I sit down and invite them to talk about what happened?
Right.
And the answer is either, you know, yes or no. Now, if, and you mentioned this before, if I've got a lot of negative energy still, the answer is I'm not ready to come to the table because I have to do it with honor and respect, which means I've forgiven them like Christ has forgiven me. I haven't reconciled with them, and I'm not changing the truth, and I'm not sugarcoating the truth, and I'm not stuffing the truth. I'm just going to sit and talk with them, and I could do it with honor and respect. If I can't, you got to go back to working the forgiveness piece of it first.
Right, which is all between, like we've always said, between you and God.
Just between me and God.
The time of doing the work for him to reveal and refine your heart and move you to true forgiveness so that you can engage with honor and respect, right?
Right. And then could I do it? And now some of them in the list, if God so says, and we'll talk about this in a couple times from now, God says, no, they're not willing to go to truth, so you're going to waste your time, one. Or if you actually invite them to the truth, it's actually going to use them as an opportunity to hurt you further and to actually set everything backwards. And so the answer is no. So as you go through the list, there may be people, and this usually is like family members, et cetera, that, you know what, they're so good at what they do, they just aren't going to go to truth, and they always spin it back on, it's my fault. I don't think that's a good idea, and let God do it. Now, if we're not sure, well, then make the effort, because you'll find out.
Right.
We're going to find out. Okay, so we're at the point now where we've made the list. We know what they've done, and God now says, I want you to approach them to process the truth. And he said there's a really wonderful, and we've actually read these scriptures already, but let's read them again. Luke 10. 5 through 12.
Sure. It says, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, they go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that city.
Yeah. So he says as you approach it, it starts out that you're not at peace with them,
mm-hmm.
which is you have conflict. By definition, you're not at peace with them.
Right.
Why? Well, you haven't worked it through to a solution that says they understand what they did, and they're willing to process that so that it is restored and repaired. So, like for example, and I've used this example is. I was supposed to pick up Linda at 5. I didn't pick her up until 6, and I didn't call her.
Right.
And text her. So she's mad, legitimately.
Rightfully so, yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about it with honor and respect, it's okay. And let's read this verse here, and then we'll come back to this. So go to
sure.
Ephesians chapter 4, read verses 25, 26, and then 29 through 32.
Ephesians 4, 25 and 30, I'm sorry, say that again.
25 and 26, and then 29 through 32.
Sure. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak his truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Yep, and then 29.
And then 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah. It's always cool when, oh, by the way,
mm-hmm.
you got to make sure you're in forgiveness like Christ forgave you. Okay, I get it. Okay, so Linda, is angry. Now, if she approached it with screaming, yelling, and attacking mm-hmm. me.
Right.
Well, unwholesome words are coming out of her mouth. She's
right.
angry and sinning. And mm-hmm. it's gone from dealing with the truth of the issue to now it's elevated to a place where I react not to the issue, but I'm reacting to the way she did it.
Right. Right.
And I'm mad. Now I'm mad about that. And particularly for me, because we're going to talk about when we talk about boundaries with my mom, I was a fighter mm-hmm. and all it did was take her to attack me.
Right.
Okay, we're off and
that
running.
Instinct
we're off. So if Linda attacks
right.
me, I have that pattern mm-hmm. that I'm off and running. I'm now battling the energy of it, not the facts of it. See?
Right.
So he says you gotta be able to do it with honor and respect. And what you're doing is you're seeing if the other party is willing to process, which we call you offer your peace. By the way, you have to have peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're in sync with God. You're in forgiveness. You could do it with honor and respect. He said, you're still angry about it. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we could talk it through. And you offer the opportunity. And what you're determining is, does the other party receive that offer?
Mm.
And he says, if they do, stay and work it out.
Right.
If they don't, and we're going to talk about this it'll be next Monday, the 26th. What do you do when they don't? Well, you got to mm-hmm. dust off your feet, and we're going to go into a whole discussion about that. But what you're trying to do, first of all, is, well, are they willing to or not?
Right.
And would you, and here's how you do it. You got to do it with honor and respect and say, hey, something happened. You did this thing here. I would like to discuss it. Would you be willing to discuss it with me? You make
right.
an offer of peace. If they say yes, I would like to. Okay. Now, what do you do? Well, what you just read in Ephesians is you speak the truth and the truth
mm-hmm.
that you know it about here's what happened. And let me describe to you, what happened. So like when Linda is doing that with me in that scenario, she would say, well, you said 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't show up. You didn't text me. I would like you to know how I felt about that.
Right.
I felt disrespected. I was frustrated. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know if you were coming at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm getting pretty upset about it because I wondered why you didn't take the time. And I felt awful. And it seemed to me you didn't care. And that and that bothers me. See, and what she's doing is saying, this happened, and this is what happened to me.
Right.
In that process. Not you, you, you. You know, you obviously didn't care about me. It's this, I felt like you didn't care about me. See the difference?
Right.
Because I can't argue with that. You felt that way. And then my response is, I'm willing to process that. I can see, based on what you just said to me, truth, I can see how that affected you.
Right.
And I can see
how... And you don't need to argue with her saying, that shouldn't have made you feel that way.
Yes.
That's a really important element there.
Yes. And I used to be really pretty good at that piece of it. You shouldn't feel that way. You know, like Linda says, what do you mean? You know, like, I feel that way. What do you mean I shouldn't feel? That's how I feel, you know, and you don't have a right to tell me how to feel. So don't attack me on that, you know. And okay. And I can see, what I can do is say, I can now understand how what I did, which was disrespectful, how you felt about that. And the minimum I could have done was call you. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, and here's what happened, and here's why I was late. But for sure, I should have texted you, or I should have called you and said, hey, I'm not going to make what I committed to. I can really appreciate it. I'm so sorry for what I did. Would you forgive me? I already did. And then she would say, you know, what, Rich, would you suggest us going forward for this to work out so it doesn't happen again?
Right.
Okay. And see, now the burden is on me because I'm the one that offended her. And I've got to say, well, I tell you what. One, I'm going to work really hard. When I make a commitment to a time, I'm going to show up. And one of the things, as I've thought through it, is I'm cramming too many things in, and I'm not giving it enough time for that to be able to end and me drive to pick you up. So I'm going to do better scheduling, and you can help me with that. If I'm going to be late for some reason, I am promise you I'm going to text you and call you and give you a rationale for it. And, of course, I can't constantly be late, but if there is periodically, I got to at least respect you for that. You know, would that work for you? And she would say, yeah. And she said, actually, if you see that you're going to be late, you know, like at 4:30, and you see, you know what, I'm not going to get there at 5.
Everything's running behind, right?
Well, then why don't you alert me then, ahead of time? So I can do something else, or if I'm out shopping and you pick me up at the mall, I can keep shopping or something. So how about that? Okay, I can do that. You know, and so we've reconciled. Why? Because we talked truth with each other.
Right.
And I processed it. We got to a reconciliation because he said, you offer your peace, you speak the truth. The other party has to respond to the truth and work it through to a satisfactory solution about, first of all, I can't change what I did.
Right.
But I can understand how it impacted you, and I can see that I'm sorry for that, and I recognize that that's something in my life that I've got to do better at. Why? Because I don't want to hurt you. And I don't want you to feel awful, and I care. I really do care, which is what you're looking for. Reconciliation is you really care. Let's work it through, and if I have to own something, I will. And by the way, on the other side of it is, and of course not in this situation where Linda didn't do anything, but in other situations where she says, you know, here's what happened, here's how I felt, and here's the truth of it. And I can say, well, some of the things you're saying aren't necessarily fully true. Let me share with you something else that you're attributing something here, but it isn't so, or you assume something that wasn't so. Let me share my truth with you about this. I'm not denying how you felt about it, but I need to help you see a little bit more of the truth that you didn't see. Now, Linda would have to receive that, see?
Right.
So it's back and forth. It's not, here's my truth and you better do this. It's, let me share with you what happened. Here's why I felt bad about it. Here's why I'm in conflict with you. Here's what you're doing that's opposing me. And then I can say, okay, well, here's my truth about that. But let's get to a solution and keep staying with it.
Right.
Until we get a resolution.
Yeah. And knowing that in that process, God can refine both of you.
Yes.
Right. Because there's a reason that it made you feel that way. There's a reason it poked this. And so there is something that he is bringing to the surface there that he can heal and begin to work as well. Not just the offense, but why did it, you know, what is it in you that may need to be refined so that that certain thing wouldn't always bring those same insecurities up or those same fears. You know, there's a lot to that, that both sides need to bring their truth. It's not, I'm so glad you said that. It's not always just one person saying it and then you, you know, kind of tucking tail and coming under.
That's
there,
right.
There is a give and take on both sides of both respecting and honoring and bringing truth to light.
Yeah. And see, he may, God may use it to what we call peel the onion. And, like in this situation, we talk more about it, is that Linda can say, you know, it's kind of a, it seems to me, you know, you're not always an hour late, but it seems to me you're late a lot. Let's talk about that. And if I'm willing to talk, and remember, I'm talking with God as well, is that, and God would say to me, yeah, Rich, you're overscheduling. Underneath it, it's not really about just Linda, is you have a problem with overscheduling.
Right.
Let's go there. Let me heal that up. And hey, Linda, would you help me do that? You see, and he peels the onion a little bit and says there's a deeper thing to it because truth is leading, you know, to freedom. So the aspect of it is offer your peace. And if a person of peace processes, stay with it to get to reconciliation by processing the truth. And see, it's both parties.
Yes.
You come with a heart of peace. If I'm receiving that, I actually am moving to a heart of peace because I'm going to get this resolved as well. And by the way, I want to. I'm not going to be self-centered. I'm not going to say I don't care. I really care. And by the way, if anybody comes to me and says, you know, hey, you've offended me in some way, I'd like to talk about it. See, my viewpoint is, sure. Absolutely. Tell me what happened. Tell me what I did. Sometimes it's inadvertent.
Right.
I've done, you know, sometimes I have a pretty, you know, dry and a wit of some, I make comments that are kind of funny, but the person
but
at the moment,
someone else's expense,
the person at the moment took it personally. And it was just funny. It was just a funny thing. I thought it
no
was
funny. No intention behind it. Right.
But, you know, and I've had people come to me and said, hey, you said you joked about this, you know, a week ago. I kind of know it was a joke, but I just want you to know that here's why it affected me in a negative way. Sure. Absolutely. Tell me about it, you know, and I can understand that. Okay. I'm going to work harder at that. I'm going to make sure that I'm more sensitive to that. And why? Well, because if there's truth to be processed, truth leads to freedom. And if anybody comes to me, I'm willing to talk about it all the time. And I want to get there. And so you offer your peace. Does the other party have the same desire to process it through? And if you do, stay with it until you're reconciled. And how do you do it? Speak the truth with honor and respect and stay with it. Don't cave on it and don't shut the truth off or deny the truth. Keep working at it, keep working at it, keep working at it, and you will get there. And then you'll see that list that you have goes away. Why? Well, because they actually processed with you. And God said, that's a good thing. By the way, not only for your benefit, guess what? For their benefit.
For theirs too.
Because they're not in freedom either. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this great scripture that tells us that our role is to offer the peace, process the truth, stay with the truth, and have you give us solutions and resolution to where we're both feeling good about it and we can say, we're good. And so we just pray that we'll be faithful to that, we'll be willing to do that, and then we'll learn as people either say no to that or they spin it and they don't really process the truth, then we have to learn to dust our feet off, which we'll learn. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.